Good afternoon. You are listening to 91.9 FM, WDRT in Viroqua, Wisconsin. This is the Heart of Wellness show with host Drs. Paul and Paula Grenier. Today's guests are Kathleen Abel, who is a spiritual evolutionary seeker, and Tom Repke, who is a retired educator. Now, today's topic is called The State of Spirit in the World. And let me just say, I'm not sure where this hour is going to go, but it's going to be fun, wild ride in this time of year during these transitional times around the solstice. The energies are, what are they? Well, we're about to find out with these two. So Kathleen, Tom, thank you so much for being with us here today. We're so excited to have you.
And the state of the spirit, the state of the union, the state of your soul, the state of our beings, it's really where it's all at. It's the only reason we're on this planet. And if we want to say health and wellness, it would have to be the number one on the list, your connection to you, to your own source, to the flow of life. Let's have some fun.
So welcome, Kathleen. I know what brings you here today because I asked you to be here. But any early insights to start this hour off about spirit?
Well, I just want to remind everyone how much they're loved. And that as we possibly go into a challenging time to bring forward maybe some of our miscreations so that we can heal them and transform them, I hope that our conversation today will give some ways that you can be a provider of peace in the world.
Thank you. Tom, any early insights as we start this hour?
Well, gee, first just thanks for inviting me.
Yes.
And it's going to be a delight, I know. I think I will open with my opening insight is that I think in terms of the state of the spirit, we are emerging from an emergency. I mean, the connection of those two words really are working on me. You know, it looks so challenging in the outer world. But in the cocoon, and something in the chrysalis, something's happening, and I think actually the butterfly is starting to emerge. But it's a longer process than we can imagine. I think.
Wow.
Emerging in the emergency.
I think it's the emergence from the emergency. So everybody is very aware of, like, you know, well, many people are, the climate crisis and war and oppression and all that stuff, which is really at a state of high emergency. But from all that, even embedded in the word, something as beautiful is emerging. That's how I see it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. How many of you like to have morning coffee? We're in the Northland. A lot of us are Scandinavians or Germans, and we love our coffee, right? But and I know you do, Paul.
Well, I just got a brand new cup for my niece for my birthday, and it says to activate your superpowers, your chiropractic superpowers, pour coffee.
Oh, nice.
It's great.
Well, I'll add to that what comes before the coffee?
The cup?
Before the beautiful smell and taste of that rich coffee.
Well, you have to plant the beans.
The beans, yes. Mm. And what happens to the beans when we love to hold them? They're beautiful, and they've come from the earth. They're a gift from Creator. But before their essence of their richness and their vitality and their flavor and their distinctiveness comes forward, is released, what has to happen to them?
Grind them.
Crush them.
And even before that, we have to roast them.
Right.
Yes, right. So it's exactly what Tom...
Right.
Was saying that the more we get jiggled up, the better we get.
Mm. Get shaken up a little bit.
Yeah.
Get an adjustment.
Yeah, you know, yes, there you
get
go.
Get a release, you know, the whole process of opiate. And when that looks in, when you're in the grinder, are we in the grinder
yeah,
right
I
now? Is that what you're saying? We're in the grinder, Tom?
I would think that's probably true on probably the espresso drip. You know, the espresso fine grind.
I mean, it is true. You know, a lot of people would say, oh, the world's a mess right now. Oh, I can't believe this mess. You know, from the election to the crisis of the war possibilities to, like you said, the climate, all these things. Oh, it's crazy. It's a mess. But then sometimes, Paul, you like to go, but is it? Because has the world been in a worse state than it is right now in the past?
I just watched the movie The Gladiator. I think they had it a little rougher back then than we do at the moment. You know, I mean, believe it or not, I think humans have evolved. We as a planet have evolved, even though, you know, you would get a lot of argument with that. But we've had the opportunity to blow ourselves completely off this planet for a while with some pretty heavy-duty weapons, and we haven't done it. And there's been some crazy people that had the opportunity to push that button, and they didn't. So there's something that's pulling us, that spiritual connection that we are. We are a spirit with a body, and that's an important view to take. You know, like we're not a body with a spirit, or body without a spirit, in my perspective anyway. We are a spirit with a body, and that spirit is connected to a greater source. And you can get into all kinds of discussions of how that looks, what that is, and then, you know, again, religion is one of those interpretations, right, of the source, the spirit. All religions are. You know, again, I would get some heavy-duty argument on this one, too. I don't want to get into the religious aspect. I want to get into, like, who are we? What are we? What is it that observes us? You know, when we're like, wow, Paul, that was not the smartest thing to do. Why'd you do that? You're talking to yourself. Who are you talking to? And so that spirit, the state of spirit in the world, what is the state of spirit in you? Like, how aware of you are we of that? In every decision we make, in every thought we think, in every movement we do, in every choice we make in our life, are we bringing spirit in to make that decision?
Yeah, makes me think of you know, the Latin root of religion has something to do with the connection, reconnecting with the divine. You know, religion is what connects us, and I think what you're saying there, Paul, is that we're part of this emergence is our reconnection with our truer selves. You know, yeah.
Yeah, and to add to that, there are people in this world who want us to believe that we're isolated and that we're separate, and that's their perspective, and they may have reasons for that make sense to them, but in comparison, I'd like to say that this is maybe a controversial statement, but nothing that happens to us is an accident, and that even tragedy, even the most horrific events, can be actually propelling us into more light. That's one of the reasons I like living in the Northland, because if you have a big snowstorm and you see a car that's in a ditch in the snowbank, you immediately stop to help because you know what that feels like, and you know we're in this together, and we don't worry about differences in that moment. We recognize that we're one humanity and that we all have hearts that are holy, and so if we face tragedy and difficulty, I hope that people can be reminded that it opens the heart and helps us find that connection.
Yes, as you speak on that, Kathleen, it, you know, reminds me of many times on Earth there's huge catastrophic weather-related crises, and we all know that Western North Carolina and the surrounding states are in the midst of it still. We have a many friends who live down there, and they still say it's not normal yet. But everyone who lives down there, I went down there for a few days to help volunteer, and everyone, they just rally, right? And that state of the spirit within each of us rallies to support each other. And, you know, it's like, why can't we just do that every day? Well, we do, in a sense. But when that crisis occurs, that real depth of challenge and, like, resilience has to show up and rise, people just find that, like, that best place in themselves or something to support each other. It's really beautiful to witness and to be a part of. And there's suffering all around, but yet it kind of gets talking about, we're coming to the Christmas season of the Grinch. And the Grinch, you know, we all know the story. He goes and tries to steal every joyful thing from the little Whoville, right? And he steals everything. We know the story. And in the end, they wake up and everything's gone, and they came out together and they sang. And the little Grinch at the top of the hour, the big Grinch, couldn't stand it. He's like, what's happening down there? Remember, in his heart just grew two sizes too big. And he's like, they're still happy, even though I took away everything that I thought mattered to them. So in the state of crisis, like North Carolina is experiencing, even though a lot of their things are gone, but they can still, they're looking to each other for that strength, that spirit within. It's pretty powerful.
Do we need crisis to find our way? Is there other ways that humans can go there? And there's obviously other crises in different parts of the planet right now that make Carolina look pretty small. You know, when we talk about war and the struggles in different countries that have been going on for years, like, do we need crisis? Can we grow as spiritual beings to change and connect without crisis? Is that, are we on the verge of that? Like, you know, that always has been, it appears that's our past pattern. Mm-hmm. Like, can we do something else?
Yeah, I have a thought on that. Is some people, maybe many, do need it. I mean, it's a matter of consciousness, isn't it? So if your consciousness is smaller and more fixed on your story self, if we call it that, you know, who you think you are, I'm my resume, I'm my job, my family, my relationships, and all that stuff. And if you're kind of incarcerated by what Father Keating, as a Christian contemplative, calls the programs for happiness. Mm-hmm. I jotted them down here so I wouldn't forget. It's like, it's sort of related to the Buddhist eight mundane concerns, but he termed it power and control, comfort and security, and positive regard and affection. Those are our human programs for happiness, and when those are compromised or diminished in any way, then we suffer, you know. But it's that egoic self that is suffering. So I think.
So this, you're saying that this is the ego aspect of us, not necessarily the spiritual.
Could you say those three again, please?
Sure. It was power and control, comfort and security, and positive regard and affection. I just heard this recently, and when I thought about my own life, I thought, yeah, that's pretty much true. When I get that little jolt of like, oh no, it's always because one of those things has been threatened in some way or at risk. Mm. You know, so I think that illusion of security and comfort and all that stuff, that's what the disaster shakes us out of. But good news is, I believe there's also an alternative route that human beings can pursue, and that is your inner work, your inner spiritual practices. So your meditation, your community service, compassion practices, all these things that we can engage in community that allow us to see that separation is actually an illusion, you know? Mm-hmm. The separation is, for me, like the number one poster child of like what we need to understand as false. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm okay, they're suffering, I better help them. What is that all about? Mm. You know?
Mm-hmm. Some of us participate in a group, we used to call it the fifth dimensional group, and now we call it the infinity group, because we decided, why are there only five dimensions? But it was in comparison to the third dimensional world that we all live in,
get caught right? up in.
And get caught up in, and that idea of polarity and us and them and anger and hate and fear. And so, you know, the saying was, I plead the fifth dimension, that is, where only we live in love and above. Right, Kathleen? I'm looking at Kathleen. We've been doing this for a couple years together.
Yeah.
And when you mention these human programs for happiness, Tom, that, you know, I see some of those as like more like 3D comfort and security. But yet if we can go inward or upward or one and the same, one of our chiropractic sayings is audio, above, down, inside, out, right, from above. So we go within and share without around us. That seems to be the common thread of an answer, right? Going in to do the work, share our light.
Yeah, well, continuing on this really important conversation about going inward, it's normal to be pulled into fear and anxiety. It's a very human response, but we forget that we've been programmed to react that way because we have looked to the external, all the things that you mentioned, Tom, and that, for example, mentioned the third one was, what was it?
Comfort and security.
Yeah, affection, yeah. Affection,
no, affection and
positive regard. Right. Like, you know.
So we've been looking to a spouse or a friend or a family member, and we get caught up in all kinds of dramas about that. Because we've forgotten that we have all the love in the universe within. And so that's the connection that we want to foster. And especially now, we haven't been taught that when we're witnessing trauma, when we're witnessing grief and people suffering, it's because we have these beautiful hearts and we have naturally profound empathy and compassion, it can be really easy to spiral downward into an abyss of grief in the misunderstanding that we're being empathetic, but actually we haven't learned about the power of our frequency of our thoughts and our emotions and our actions, that actually what we focus on, we contribute our energy to. So this is just an invitation that when we out of habit might feel we're doing good by joining someone in their grief, what would really be wonderful is to help that person and ourselves first go inward and find the strength of the divine within so that we can help them find the strength of the divine within themselves. And then from there we can, you know, move upwards to gratitude and a variety of other really positive things. But the first step is to recognize the power of our thoughts and our emotions and then our actions.
Very much so. And, you know, some of the ones, the things you mentioned, Tom, are like power, control, comfort, security, you know, trying to, those to me are like man-made things. And I had this happen to me. I just did last summer, this whole spiritual with guided. Guy was guiding me, and I had to sit from sunrise to sunset, and eventually sunrise. And but I was in the first one, and I was just uncomfortable. This could be squirming everywhere, and I only had a 10-foot circle I was supposed to be in. And I'm all over the place trying to get comfortable. Got a little pad there I'm working with. And at the end, I was like, you know, I had it all set up. I was going to go talk to my guide and talk to him about, you know, if I was more comfortable, I would be more focused. And I would be, you know, I wouldn't be so distracted. And he just listened to my whining. And he goes, Paul, he said, the comfort is the distraction. And I was like, wow, it just hit me that is the key to where, like, we have to get uncomfortable to get out of our patterns.
Yeah.
And this is the beauty of WDRT 91.9. It is super comfortable. You can slide right in, turn on the radio, and be all kinds of comfort, and life is good. And you can also just turn it a little bit or listen to another channel. Next you know, that music or that talk show is going to push you a little bit. It's going to get you a little uncomfortable. So you got to think about things, and you got to view life in a different way. So not only is it comfortable, it's enlightening. This place is the source itself. WDRT 91.9 is your spiritual source here in the Driftless area. It is the center of the heart, the connection to all. WDRT 91.9, Heart of Wellness.
Yes, if you're just joining us, I want to let you know who our guests are, in case if you happen to just turn that dial on by serendipitous tuning or driven from within to turn the dial to 91.9. Our guests are Kathleen Abel and Tom Repke. Kathleen is a spiritual evolutionary seeker, is what I'm calling her, and Tom is a retired educator who has a lot of spiritual insights. We are talking about the state of spirit in our world, and currently we're talking about comfort as a distraction.
It is, and that's why crisis is such a great way to wake up. But can we be aware enough that we create our own, we push ourselves to go to the uncomfortable? You know, like our son, and actually all of our kids have had the opportunity to do Outward Bound and other forms of getting young people out into the world. Mm-hmm. And our wonderful friend Dave Puig was a big part of that process that is no longer here on this planet. Spirit's still here with us. So just want to put a shout out to that beautiful man and his family and all the people that he touched. So that connection, like getting kids in an area, getting humans, yourself, in a space that is not your normal routine. Mm-hmm. So we can get out, break free of these habits that are not serving our opportunity to express our spirit. If the only reason this planet is to express our true essence, which is pure love and connection with every other being on this planet, if that's our only purpose, then how can we do that? I mean, we might have to get out of our habits that are not, you know, not bringing that to the table. Or whatever you do, bring spirit with you. Like, know that it's a part of that.
Pack your spirit in your bag.
Mine's wearing purple every Sunday.
Yeah. And as I say, you know, you can't leave home without it. You know?
Yeah.
So it's like, it's not really a choice. The choice is how much you attend to it or notice it. And I think what you're saying there, Paul, about crisis is so important, that it's like with the crisis, we can either react or respond.
Mm.
And so nice. The key point is like, what practices can we take up that we can actually practice when we don't need them, so that capacity to just put a hold on the reactivity, even for a nanosecond, even for 3 or 4 seconds, and like maybe ask ourselves, who is it that's feeling this fear right now?
Mm.
You know, is it really, is it my true self? You know, or is it the one who's lost in those programs that we talked about earlier, programs of happiness? So that's like with the little kids in East Harlem, I had an assistant principal who like came in like a ball of fire, and she was all about like, you can't stay in your comfort zone as a teacher, because you need to be in the learning zone, and that's the discomfort zone, without going into the danger zone. She actually had like the little needle, you know, so it was like the needle should be going like into the learning zone, AKA the discomfort zone. So, because if you stay in the comfort zone, you're not learning. However, she pushed the needle right to the edge where it was hovering, and sometimes would just skip into the danger zone a little bit, to the point where teachers were crying, you know? So it's like that. But in that context, these little first and second graders, and even kindergartners in East Harlem, you know, they'd come in from recess all worked up, you know, just like red in the face and snot coming out of their noses. And like, and we didn't do all sorts of practices, like take a jar of a quart of water and put, you know, drop some problems in there, little stones on the bottom. Put a little cloth on the bottom first. And drop in the stones, plunk, plunk, plunk. Like, whoa, man, those are some big problems. you know, and then you pour in the baking soda and you stir it all up like, wow, you can't even see what's going on, you know. What's going on? And let's just sit and breathe for a few minutes and watch it. Watch the jar. And slowly, and I won't tell you how, so you can try it yourself to see the mystery of it, but slowly, the jar of water clears as all the baking soda settles to the bottom. Mm. Now, the problems are still there. So the learning is like you're quieting yourself. Doesn't make your problems go away, but it allows you to see them more clearly and respond to them rather than just get spin off in a frenzy of reactivity. And little kids get it. They understand that that's a tool that is theirs. And when they get upset, we'd have a little peace corner in the classroom, and if they were free to go there whenever they needed to, and they just could self-regulate. So, I need the peace corner. Sure enough, you do. You know, and they go and they sit and they, you know, do like a calming jar or some breathing practices or maybe a little mandala coloring or something for 5 minutes, and then they come back and join the class. You know. Rather than like sitting in their little desks, like feeling all that stuff and not knowing what to do with it.
Or get punished for expressing, yeah. Right?
Oh, exactly. So that, long story short, it's like whether you're a child or an octogenarian, we all can access this tool to promote the capacity to watch ourselves, really. That's what we're talking about. The true self watching the story self. And then we can almost like comfort and embrace and nurture and tenderly tend to ourselves rather than feeling like we're just like marching through the world in a battle, you know. That's how I see it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we can all use that peace corner.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the beautiful thing that you're bringing to our attention, Tom, which is why we need each other so beautifully, because we all bring a new inspiration that maybe I haven't thought of or the listener hasn't thought of. The importance of breath is reminding us of we're not alone in this. With every breath, we receive divine love and divine light. I mean, when you think about that, with every single breath, we're being loved from the top of our head, in each little hair, all the way down to the soles of our feet and every cell in between, we're being flooded with love. And then our feet, if we're awake to it, we're getting connection, bringing that love into the earth, and then Mother Earth can send her love back up and Creator's love and Mother's love from the earth meets in our heart, and it's like an explosion if you really take time to think of it. And then when we exhale, we can send that love to everybody in the world, and they don't know it, but they're going to be soothed in a way they may not even consciously know about. But it all starts with that breath that you mentioned, and then we can send it out into the cosmos, and then it all starts again. And so if we remember that we're not just alone in our skin and in this beautiful body, we're connected to something so much bigger, and now we're coming into solstice, we're going to become more aware of the light, and so we can start recognizing as more and more light is coming in. It's an exquisite process that we're experiencing.
Mm. I'm feeling my toes tingling after that little reminder to breathe so deeply. Mm. I love that. Like, I've been working on more meditations lately, and I've just been finding myself throughout the day just taking these really beautiful breaths, like, wow, I think I'm breathing deeper than I have, just kind of on occasion. It feels so good.
Yeah.
So thank you for reminding people to breathe. You know, I have to tell one little funny story about breath. I was a clinician in a chiropractic college, and one of the students was a fiery young lady from well, they called them Persians themselves. They said, "We're Persian." So there's Iran, that area. Oh, they're fiery. There's some sisters in there. And one of these young ladies was, you know, she was a student doctor, and she was doing something that I just needed to, you know, have a moment with her and have a chat, like. And she was, I forget why she wasn't so mad, but I said, "Can you please come down the hall with me to the office?" And I could feel how angry she was behind me, coming at me like a freight train. I was like, "Please, God, help me, please help me." And we got in the room, we closed the door, and she looked at me, I said, "The first thing we're going to do is breathe." And she looked at me, I said, "Just please take a deep breath." And she did, and it just completely diffused, like, whatever she was, I don't even remember why she was mad at me, but boy, she was mad in that moment. And I thought, thank you, God, for that inspiration to have me ask her to breathe, for both of us, that we're both just going to take a breath or two. And it was able to bring that down so we could kind of connect, you know, as people, and not be like, you know. I remember walking in the hall, like, what am I going to say to her? What am I going to say to her? And I was so grateful that breathe came out of my mouth. And it's so powerful, the breath, right? Another guest we had in our show one time, and he talked about the power, if you put your tip of your tongue on the roof of your mouth and take 3 deep belly breaths, you'll literally change your physiology in just those 3 breaths.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember that, and I use that a lot. I've used it when I've coached hockey with people, like, I went over, I said, just take a couple of really deep breaths. Just do that, and it just shifts that energy in your body. So helpful, so, so helpful.
Dan brought this up and needs to be shared. Inspire, to fill the mind, heart with grace, also to promote or induce someone to do something, from old French inspirer, from Latin inspire, blow into, breathe upon, figuratively inspire, excite, inflame from within, to breathe. See, and it says, see spirit as the noun.
Beautiful.
So that's, I mean, that's, it's so, so huge. So such a big part of our world, and it's so beautiful to see that those children, basically, what it's doing is reconnecting them to their source, right? To their spirit. Mm-hmm. And they're still, as a child, so connected to it. But then, boom! This modern day world, with all the electronics, with all the chemicals, it's just so, with all the sugar they get, and they're sitting in the classroom instead of being outside as much as our elders used to be, including our era was, you know, we were, and in that range, everybody knows that range of when things really started to shift, when everybody was carrying a computer, and it's so vital today. Our greatest nutrient is what? If you ask people, well, what's your most important nutrient? What would they say?
What would you say?
Breath. It's the one that you can live out, live with the least. Right, yeah. You got what?
Tom, you're both.
You can go without water for a while. You can go out without food. Oh yeah,
Tom across the room.
Yeah. Yeah. He's turned red, now purple.
I wouldn't make a pearl diver, that's for sure.
Yeah. So you know, it's breath is your most important ingredient. It is in everywhere.
I mean,
in nature.
Breatharians, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Breatharians, yeah.
Does anyone know a breatharian?
I've heard of them. Never met one. But
I haven't met one.
Yeah.
But isn't that true?
Well, that's what they say. So, Dan said that to me today, talking about people that are eating the sun. You know, we're all sun eaters. We're all breath eaters. You know, we're really breath a little.
And that's my image my whole life. I'm not great in the kitchen. I'm like, if I could just live like from the sun like a plant, life would be free up so much time in the day to do other things instead of cleaning and cooking, from eating and prepping and shopping. People then remind me I'm a 3D human and I should enjoy the art of cooking. But I'm like, I just want to, what did you say? Feed off the sun? Eat
the sun? That's what we do. I mean, really, in everything we do, and it's like how far down the food chain you're eating sun, you know, in the air, water.
Yes.
You know, it's all.
I think, Paul, you're bringing up we can get into like diet and health and wellness and spirit. And diet is so much more than the food we consume in terms of our meals. You know, we have our diet, our sense life. So, like, what are you feeding yourself in terms of awareness of touch? You know, and what are you feeding yourself in terms of what you see and how you experience it in the moment and hear, and even more direct and relevant, I think, to our times is what is our media diet?
Yeah.
You know, what images are we feeding ourselves, and are we learning something new, or is it fostering our wellness to take in like image after image after image of the same thing? Not that you ignore it or don't enter into it, but how much do you need to understand what's going on in the world and take action, you know? Mm-hmm. And I want to emphasize the action part, because the cautionary note of like spiritual bypass, like, oh, that's not important, I'm not going to take those images in, you know, that's what it's meant to be. We need to embrace and participate in our 3D world, because we're here, you know, and we are 3D, like it or not, mm-hmm. you know, but we have a more expanded conception of our possibilities, I think. Some people can realize that, say, hey, we're more than what we think we are, and we can do a lot of help.
And diet, as Dan has, he's on a roll, brought up today, you know, it's like it's more than just the food.
Yeah.
It's your daily thoughts. It's your daily, and this is in the definition of it. It's more like your way of life, your dwelling, your around, you know, like what are you taking in? Mm-hmm. Are you getting out in nature? Are you consciously breathing? Are you dieting Facebook every day? Are you getting angry by reading all these, you know, taking in the news on a regular basis? It's like, what is your daily diet will be your daily life, you know. It says.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And we should be slimming our diet of news. We should be, you know, cutting out some of those areas that are affecting our health.
Mm-hmm. And while we're doing that, we also need to supplement with some very powerful nutrients and nutritional supplements. And I would recommend just what I've been experiencing lately is the supplements of like silence, stillness, and solitude. Because we are so busy in today's world. They even call it busyness, you know, mind your own busyness. But when we take the time to physically still our bodies, you know, quiet the mind, and solitude, I found, doesn't have to be away from all people. We can have shared silence, shared solitude, sitting in a room. I've just experienced it at a retreat with like 9 people sitting around a fireplace in shared silence. There's a form of solitude there because you're in within yourself, but you're doing it in community. It's kind of like the Quaker meeting idea, I think, you know, that's a tool for us or a supplement that we can use to strengthen our being and actually commune with who we really are, access that indescribable whatever that is our source of strength.
So is the SSS, isn't that a Navy thing? Silence, solitude, and stillness?
SSS?
I mean, isn't that a Navy old Navy thing? Am I off on that?
No, I thought that was SOS, save our ship.
There we go. Okay. Okay, look at that. Spelling makes a difference.
Yeah.
But I totally... SSS, we got to get on it. There's a good tattoo to have right there.
Yeah.
Remind yourself every day.
Yeah, I'm going to maybe bring that into my holiday gatherings with people. Just take a few moments of shared solitude.
We could even have just a brief experience of it for like 10 seconds right now.
We could on the air.
Here we go.
Here we go, ready?
And there you have it. Anything, it's the farthest thing possible from dead air.
True.
Radio's greatest fear.
Isn't that something? And look at the power.
Silence can't have that.
We just turn that reality one little notch, and all of a sudden you're looking at God right in the eye. You know, it's wild. It's wild how we see these things and label them, and really your greatest gift is that silence and radio. We got to wake up call. All of a sudden, all these radio stations around the world are going to go silent for maybe a whole hour. Who knows?
They might.
Change the world. Speaking of silence and our greatest fear in WDRT, I'm sorry, we ain't doing it. You turn on the radio and you're not going to get silence. You're going to get love, joy, exuberance, health, wellness, rock and roll, any type of music you want, any type of opportunity to share what the world's all about and who our connection with each other. You're going to find it. WDRT 91.9, Heart of Wellness.
Yes, and our guests today are Kathleen Abel and Tom Repke. They are both spiritual evolutionary seekers, I think, in their own right, and they're both actually, well, retired educators. Both of you have spent time in the classroom, right? What ages, Kathleen, were you with?
Well, for money, I was with first graders mostly. For beautiful experience, I've been with babies through people that are transitioning out of the world. So
you've been with a lot. And what about you, Tom? What were your age groups that you were with?
Mostly first and second grade, on a good day, kindergarten, you know. And then I was also a Waldorf teacher, so I took a class from first grade through seventh. So a little broader stroke there.
And your kindergarten, your younger grades were both Waldorf and?
No, the younger grades were mostly at the public school in East Harlem.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Right. Well, it's so nice you came back over here to the Driftless, to the great state of Wisconsin, to be with us. Uh-huh. But thank you for serving in the bigger city. I know that everybody needs love, right, Kathleen? Everybody in all places.
Mm-hmm. And Dan brought up another one here. It's, speech is silver. And silence is golden. The power, you know, just, but then again, this is all how we view it, right? We view gold more valuable than silver, but maybe silver is more valuable. Yeah.
I would like to say that maybe it isn't an either or, maybe it's both are wonderful and that they're just different expressions. In other words, maybe silence is the divine feminine inspiring us and informing us, and maybe the exhalation and the action is the divine masculine that's been inspired by the moment that we were still. So they're both, it's like this beautiful dance or making love or any activity. There's both the being and the doing, and it's perfection.
Mm.
When it's balanced.
And on that metaphor also with gold, I would say that there are levels of refinement of the gold. Mm-hmm. So the silence, I was once taught, like, I thought I was doing really good by not talking for, like, you know, many days in a row, you know. And this wise old man gave the talk. He opens it by saying, silence is not speechlessness. So, and then he went into, like, levels of silence. So silence of the speech, then silence of the mind, all the squirrel cage, and silence of the heart or desire, and then silence of just this connection with the false self. You know, so eventually those refinements of silence bring you down to that space and experience of who you always have been, are now, and always will be. You know, it's as the one. So that's how I see it.
There's the sound of silence, right? Is it Simon Garfunkel? Hello, darkness, my old friend.
And what is the outcome that you were looking for? Would it be peace? I mean, this internal peace, this connection, this...
I think it's, you could put it this way, what you access or experience or have access to is a good way to say it, is an experience of who you truly are, and that would be like, when you said peace, we are, actually, peace isn't something we put into ourselves. We don't get peace from the world. We are peace. Peace is the condition of the human being in its purest, most natural state. You know, sort of like we're peace, we're love, but that manifestation of those human values, I think, gets gummed up by all what you refer to as like the 3D stuff, you know, it's the fears and the programs of happiness, and it sort of like, it's like gunk that prevents the free flow of who we really are to manifest into the world with each other. And I also want to put in a plug before the time runs out that part of this new emergence that we started talking about really in the beginning is an emergence of human consciousness realizing that we are part of an earth community. You know, the earth is not a resource. You know, or it's not a collection of objects, as Thomas Berry would say. We're a communion of subjects, and we need to play our roles that we're created to enact as humans, and realize that all beings have rights. The mountain has a right to exist. You know, the plant has a right to grow. And all these things. The water has a right to flow and be pure, not be contaminated. So we need to do a better job on taking up our role, I think.
Yeah, sometimes you have to have the contrast to recognize what you just said. In other words, the impurity of the water is teaching us how beautiful pure water is, and the absence of a mountain that's been, you know, blown up or dug into, the absence of the full mountain is teaching us the beauty of the entire being mountain. So the appearances may seem like we're failing, but actually everything is right on target. We can only know what we know until we know something better, and we're in the process. And it's all this magnificent banquet, and you're reminding us of the stillness in the midst of so much noise is fabulous. And at the same time, we can find all the things of stillness in the midst of community when we have a good laugh together. I mean, it's just all such a richness and diversity. It absolutely makes my brain explode.
For those of you who haven't met Kathleen yet, you always just bring that perspective of just that. It's also amazing. It could just make my brain explode. It's just also amazing. You know, in recent times, I've been really marveling at all of our individualities. You know how like every snowflake is different, right?
Yep.
And really just tuning into like every person has something to offer, and you know, tuning into what do I have to offer, and accepting what I have to offer, that it might not be what you have to offer, or you, Tom. Mm-hmm. We all have such
so
beautiful
amazing.
Things to bring, right? And they're all so beautiful and unique. It just blows my mind open. Right?
Dan brought this up again, too. The pictured, puzzled, solved, with edges dissolved. You know, so you have the... What's that, and we'll stop right there. Are we one piece of puzzle? You know, so like, it is complicated, but it's not. You know, that's the whole thing. It's complicated, but it's not. And I really feel like our only purpose is to find our way to see the God in us and the God in somebody else, the spirit in somebody else and the spirit in us, to recognize who we are in a body and recognize the being right across the table in a body, your spirit in you, the spirit in me, the spirit in the plant, the spirit in the animal, the spirit in the mountain, the spirit in the water, in the air. This is recognizing that and bringing it, you know, in our lives. It's hard. It's not easy raising a natural, spirit-driven human on a planet that is no longer natural. You know, well, that's not true. Yeah. Thank you, Tom.
Just a little glitch.
Yeah, I had a little that is. It appears that there's more unnatural things being created on the planet, but they are created from the planet. So are they unnatural? You know, that's interesting. The the electronics, the chemicals, you know, aren't they just a manipulation of the original?
Yeah. If I can just say one closing comment in relation to that is, like, I think one of the most helpful things for us is to understand that human existence is just at the precipice, just at the leading edge of the evolutionary process. We have not been around very long. We're still very young. And geologically, the planet has taken so long for all this diversity to emerge. So if we just remember,
so the human can even exist.
Yeah, and that there's great potential for us to flourish as the creator, or whatever you want to conceive it to be, intended us to be as beings, you know, our role, as I mentioned earlier. We're just getting started, and there's a lot of positive possibility in our future.
Mm-hmm. So we're pretty young.
Yeah,
potentially not even that important.
Well, yeah, what important? Well, we have a potential.
That's a good question. Yeah. I would like to ask that to you, two spiritual seekers. How important are we as humans? As a spiritual evolution?
I think the deeper question and a great way to avoid answering is to say, you know, who is it that's asking that? You know,
Paul Grenier. Just in case anybody forgot.
Yeah. I'm going to say you're infinitely important, Paul.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
There you go. I'm with Kathleen.
And you're looking in the mirror, Kathleen.
We have we still got a little bit of time left, right? About 8 minutes, so we can delve a little further.
Eight minutes?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
8 minutes left. Yeah, so we can still go a little further with this topic.
And so I want to move on that a little bit. Like, like, what does that mean by being important? Like, what is it on this planet in the next 8 minutes? Can we, like, what should we be doing in a world that right now is got a lot of baking soda in the water, in the air? So it's a little fuzzy. Yeah. It's like it's confusing at times, and unless we just stop for a moment.
Yeah.
So that might be.
I would say my immediate reaction, no, slow down. Okay, response to the question, is that I think what we need to do is love more. We hear the word love, and not just other human beings. Love everything. Love all the plants and the animals and the sky and all creation, and develop a reverence for the preciousness of it all. And one way to do that is through the imagination, like realizing, like if you blew up a big balloon, the edge of the balloon, the boundary, would be like the little crust of the earth. The crust of the earth is so thin. It's like only as thick as like from here to Westby in many places, 6-7 miles thick. I think it's at its thickest is like in Tibet, it's maybe 40 miles or something. But even that, it's like from here to Reedstown, the crust is not very thick. The zone where all life takes place is only a number of miles, you know. So we don't really live vertically. Earth is embodied and enlivened in this little blanket of life around it, which is so thin and fragile. And once we have gratitude for the wonder of it all, then maybe we can cultivate reverence. And with reverence comes relationship and care and appreciation. When you take in that breath, man, that air has been around forever, you know, in and out and in this tree, out that tree. And so it's a precious thing. And the same thing with the universe. We think we know it all. We think this is where the action is. But now we have the instruments to show how large the universe, how much larger it is than we thought, you know, and that it's, we think the Milky Way is a big galaxy, and then it's just part of a cluster of galaxies, and then that's only part of the visible universe. And
they estimated 20,000 plus galaxies, which have multiple,
exactly,
like an uncountable amount of suns in them with their planets, and it's mind blowing,
right.
Literally.
My brain explodes.
Yeah, you know. Now we have two guests with the brains exploded.
We'll tie you up cracking after the show.
You're going to have to take over, Dan.
Yeah.
We'll just have AI do it.
Yeah.
You know, I had that moment when you said love more. And then you said, well, of everything. It's like a bumper sticker, right?
Yeah.
Love more of everything. Not just love more people, love more. Like, yeah. Love more. What do you love more of? Everything. Everything, yeah. Just love more. You started the show off saying that. You are loved, Kathleen. That's the first thing you said when we got on the air.
Yeah, and especially start with loving yourself. Mm. And not just the things that you maybe think you did well, but even the times that you didn't have the answer that came immediately, or maybe where you fell down and acted in a way that you wish you had done differently. But you know, you're just, as we've been saying throughout this program, that we're not alone. There are beings and energies around that are so fascinated by every little thing that every single person and every little bug and every animal is doing here, because this is so uniquely here and so different from there. And and so even when you've said maybe you've gotten angry at something, they're like, ooh, come over here. They're really mad. They may be in a vibration where they don't know what anger is. They don't know what rage is, and they're like, ooh, wow, they're punching each other. Ooh, and you know, when we leave this place and we have a chance to be neutral about everything and we look back, some of the times that we maybe thought were the worst weren't. They taught us so much, and they expanded the wisdom of the whole universe. So as we love everything, be sure to start with yourself.
Mm. Mm. Thank you.
Yeah, that makes me think.
Now we're down to 2 minutes.
Okay. My parting words, and yes. What made me think of it, Kathleen, is the connection between, the when you said we're not alone, when you look at the spellings of alone and all one, you know, just put in an extra L. So for me, it's this idea that we can have differentiation, infinite differentiation without separation. You know, we can differentiate the powers and the this and the that, and but ultimately nothing is separate. There's a one without a second, they say.
You know, this is a great way to end, because both of you are teachers of young people, and you know the different personalities in all your class. They're so different, right? They're so busy that you just love every one of them. That can be all the religions in the world, a classroom of religions and a classroom of politics, mm-hmm. a classroom of countries, a classroom. It's like you love them all. If you're the teacher, if you're the source, you love them all.
Yeah.
And one might be really rough, and you got to really treat them a little differently, and why they want to fight, because you don't know what's going on at home. You don't know what their world's like. You don't know what they're eating. You don't know what they're watching. It's like, another one's so sweet, and then they're crying all the time. And it's like, oh, come on. It's like you love every one of them.
Yeah.
And so we have to love all the people in this world and their belief systems. And they're, you know, we can work with them. We have to, you know, all this process of can we keep growing? But there isn't just one way to live. There isn't just one way to think. There's not one way to pray. And there's not one way to run a world. It's we're all one. And there's millions, billions of us on this planet. And so we're going in the right direction. We're beautiful people. If you meet them around the world, they're all over. And thank God we have the opportunity to connect.
Well, thank you so much, Tom and Kathleen, for joining us for this hour. I knew it would be a joy. I love the path we took, talking about the state of spirit in the world. Thank you for all your insights, and thank you for reminding everybody to love more of everything and love them all. Thank you so much. Have a great day, folks.